Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchen of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking good food events, the rise of the donut, and the hot five with Ed's Lobster Bar. Heritage Radio Network and Hot Grease have been buzzing the first 25 days of the new decade. I want to share some super cool culinary happenings in New York and beyond. So first up, February 1st through the 5th is Social Media Week. I think it's in like five cities, New York, I think they're international cities, but February 1st through the 5th, there'll be dozens of panels, workshops, parties, and networking events all centered around social media. On the 5th, yours truly will be on a panel, and the panel is titled Whole Foods Market Presents. Actually, it's a Whole Foods sponsored, organized panel. Afternoon Snack, a New York new food media panel. Liza DeGaia, I think she was just on Kathy Irway's show today. She'll be on the panel. Kathy Irway will be on the panel. The editors, online editor of Bon Appetit and editor-in-chief Tasting Table, and myself, Nicole Taylor from Hot Grease. So if you guys can log on to socialmediaweek.org, I think they have tons and tons of stuff, from food stuff to radio stuff to museums and social media, the whole gamut. Try to get on there early as possible, because a lot of the free events are filling up fast and are quote unquote sold out. Event number two. This event is actually happening in San Francisco, and it's called SF Noir Food and Wine Event. And it is a food and wine event bringing together the region's best in Black cuisine. And it's actually in conjunction with the annual San Francisco Black History Month celebration. So I thought they have some really, really cool events, and I thought I would just share a few of them with you guys. The first one is In Defense of Food. It's a spoken word affair. I'm not sure how that'll turn out, but maybe they'll just do spoken word pieces on food, social justice. Should be very interesting. If any listeners are out there and you've gone to SF Noir, give me a call. Live call-in number is 718-497-2128. Just let me know about this event. Another one of the programs or scheduled events for SF Noir is the Shrimp and Grit Taste Off. And then Bryant Terry, a known author, he lived in New York at one point and is author of Vegan Soul Kitchen, will be doing a book signing as well. Third event, this is in the South, in my hometown, Athens, Georgia, Georgia Organics Conference. What's very special about this conference is the keynote speaker is Carlo Petrini, who's the founder of Slow Food, the international founder, and has a great connection with Heritage Radio Network and the brain behind Heritage Radio Network, Patrick Martin. So he'll be the keynote speaker, and it'll be in Athens, Georgia, February 19th and 20th. I will be there and putting together a special show probably the end of February, beginning of March, with some cool restaurants in Athens, cool social justice, food justice places that are doing great work in Athens, as well as some of the folks that are at the conference. And maybe I can get an interview with Carlo. I need an interpreter because I don't speak Italian, but I'm sure that'll work out. Another cool event here in New York City, February 12th through the 14th, the Roger Smith Food Writers Conference. One of our guests Kara Newman is actually doing one workshop, I think, about food writing. But this workshop is 2 days. They have panels and workshops from cookbooks in the cyber age to Goodbye Gourmet, Hello Yelp, The Changing Role of the Restaurant Critic. So it's just a whole series of workshops all about the changing face of food writing. And ironically, well, not ironically, all of it is going social media. So a lot of the workshops are all about social media. And one last event to share with you guys. You hear a lot on the network and on Hot Grease about CSAs, which is Community Supported Agriculture. And Just Foods is having a CSA conference. It'll be here in New York on Sunday, February 28th. It's an all-day conference, and it's an opportunity for CSA members and farmers from around the city to come together for their workshops, discussion, and good food. They haven't put up the workshop topics, but I'm sure it's going to be a whole bunch of grassroots-based stuff and how to connect with farmers, how to create the best CSAs, and even workshops with folks who don't have CSAs and they wanted to have one. I'm going to try to put all these events and create an event page on foodculturist.com. So if you are not checking out Food Culturist, please do. Or check me out on Twitter. I'm going to try to do a better job putting all these cool events up for you guys. We're going to take a short break and come back with Kamal Grant of Sublime Donuts. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Our first guest today is Kamal Grant, and he is the owner of Sublime Donuts in Atlanta, Georgia. And my theme for this segment is Move Over Cupcake, A New Kid is on the Block, the Donut. Kamal, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you very much for letting me join your fabulous show today.
So, you have referenced donuts as the street thug of the pastry industry. Yeah. What makes the donut so different?
The donut gets no respect unlike other pastries. I mean, all pastries are, you know, basically the same thing. It's flour, water, yeast, you know, butter, sugar. But donuts are made with this, and they don't get respect as croissants do, and madeleines, and cupcakes, and danishes. But they're all the same stuff, so that's what I'm saying. Donuts are the street thug of the pastry world, because they get no respect.
I absolutely love that. So I have no clue about the history of the donut and the shape. So I always think, like most people, that a donut is like round and it has a hole. What's the history of the donut?
I think I read a good book on the history of the donut, and it says, I mean, donuts, they go back to 1830 when they were documented in cookbooks here in America as an American food, and donuts with fried, I mean, a donut is simply fried dough and sugar dough, and it goes back to about 1830 where they started eating it, and it really gained in popularity during World War One, when the Salvation Army used to cook donuts overseas for the GIs.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and they got the taste of donuts, so they came back to America and really wanted to eat more donuts. So that's when donuts started blowing up in America as a breakfast food.
So So originally donut is a breakfast. I mean, I guess I don't equate donuts for breakfast, but now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, everyone here loves Dunkin' Donuts. I absolutely hate Dunkin' Donuts. But it's big here. So is it a breakfast or is it known as a snack thing?
I mean, I guess it is a breakfast. It mainly gets eaten as a breakfast. But it can be a snack because it is a sweet pastry. But, you know, it just depends on your mood that day. You know, what would you like, you know? I mean, donut could be considered a breakfast because you need a good pick-me-up, a sugar rush, something quick to put in your hand. So that's kind of why people like it for breakfast.
So the first donut in World War One, was that just a simple fried donut with sugar on top? Describe that donut.
Yeah, it's probably a simple cake donut with sugar on top. They used to cook it out of big metal garbage cans and fry it for the GIs, all the young ladies for the Salvation Army. And the GIs loved it, so they came back to America with a hankering for donuts and started opening up their own donut shops.
So I'm sure you've read all the articles, but the food world is predicting a designer donut takeover. And I read a few articles and I'm thinking, okay, what is a designer donut? And my initial reaction is a donut is a donut is a donut. So what is your take on the designer donut versus a quote unquote regular donut?
Well, I think a donut is a donut. I mean, I think that's true, too. But I think the designer name comes in it from, because unlike other pastries and other things, you know, like pizza, pizza's been created, and people have added new fun things, a pizza, barbecue chicken, smoked salmon. But nobody has ever done that with a donut yet. And I think people are realizing, you know, there's a lot of chefs out there that are saying, why not? I mean, that's what I was thinking at first. I love donuts. So I'm thinking, why hasn't no one came up with any new ideas for the donut? So that's when I started thinking, what can I do to make a donut delicious but still keep it in the integrity of being still a donut? So.
Speaking of chefs, you are a CIA, which some people may not know, Culinary Institute of America, trained pastry chef. Yes. How was Sublime Donuts birthed? You could have gone to any restaurant and been this pastry chef making really cute cheesecakes and beautiful artistic pieces of pastry. Why Sublime Donuts? And where did you get the name?
Sublime Donuts. Well, Sublime Donuts' birth was just me wanting to create. I was working for a big bacon manufacturer, and I mean, I've always loved donuts from since I was a child when I thought, when I wanted to join the pastry world and become a pastry chef, I loved donuts, and I used to think, what could I do to a donut to make it great? So I had all these ideas roaming around in my little dome, and one day I was driving downtown Atlanta, saw an independent donut shop, which we don't have many of in Atlanta, drove in to get a donut, and it was already closed and for lease, and I said, you know what? I think it's time for me to strike it on my own and see if I can make a donut that is delicious enough that people will enjoy and unique and is my own style. And when I made it, it was just the best, greatest tasting thing I ever had in my life. So I said, man, this is Sublime. Sublime Donuts.
Got it. So when I was in Atlanta, I visited, I lived in Atlanta actually for 13 years before moving to New York about 2 years ago. And so right after I left, I think that's when you opened. So all of my friends, they know that I'm like fanatical over sweets. They're like, oh, Sublime Donuts. So when I came in December, I had the A-Town Donut cream fill. And I can't remember what else I had. Do you remember? I don't remember. But tell our listeners about some of the flavors that you have at Sublime Donuts.
Some of our flavors we do. I mean, my favorite pastry or sweet in the world is, you know, shout out to Hershey's. There's a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. So we got a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup donut. You know, Oreo Cookies and Cream Donut. We have the Fresh Strawberries and Cream, which is just a play on, you know, jam-filled donuts. It blows people's mind when they eat it the first time. They're like, does it have strawberry jelly in it? And I say, no, I said fresh strawberries. And then they eat it and say, wow, this is the best thing ever. And I'm thinking, it's so simple, no one ever thought, why are we cooking the strawberries? Why don't we just put them in as they were intended to be?
Right.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. So we got stuff like that, fun, silly stuff.
So the A-Town Donut, I'm just fascinated by the shape. Did you just when you were thinking Sublime, when the name Sublime, is that the same day you came up with the A-shaped donut?
Well, I was really just wanting to give something for the people of Atlanta to be proud of, to let them know this is a local independent donut shop that represents them. So that's when I said, we need a donut. I mean, some other corporation out there has a Boston cream donut because they're founded in Massachusetts. I said, why don't we have a donut of our own? So that's when the A-Town came out, and I said, if I'm going to do it, call it the A-Town donut, might as well shape it like the letter A. So there you go.
Now, you're located basically right near Georgia Tech's campus. Are you in any other stores in Atlanta or any plans to deliver in other parts of the country?
Yeah, we're in a couple other stores. We sell to Octane Coffee Shop.
Oh, yeah. They were voted in Bon Appetit magazine as like one of the top coffee shops in the country.
Top coffee shop in the world. They're great, yeah. Established people. And we also sell to another place called Cypress Street Pint and Plate, where they turn our donut into a hamburger called the Sublime Burger, and it's the best burger
you
ever
got
in your life.
What?
Yeah.
They turned into a burger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Use it as a bun. Why not use donuts as a bun? Donuts are fabulous. They taste delicious, and so do burgers. Combine it together, you have a Sublime Burger now.
Yeah, I've seen people are doing that now. That's very interesting. I'll have to try that. I'll fast for like 2 or 3 days before I go try that burger. So, tell our listeners. We have listeners from New York to Atlanta to the West Coast. Please give out your website and your location in Atlanta. If people are sliding through the A and they want an A-Town donut, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me at 535 10th Street. It's downtown Atlanta, right across the street from Georgia Tech. And my website is www.sublimedonuts, SublimeDonuts.com.
Kamal, thank you for joining us on Hot Grease and talking donuts. Donuts and hot grease, what a great combination. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, well, thank you for having me.
No problem. We'll be back after a short break.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock. It wasn't a rock. It was a rock.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Let me give a Southern girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Hot Grease loves an awesome restaurant with great food, superb service, and a hidden hip vibe. Ed's Lobster Bar is all that and more. Today, we'll be doing the Hot Five with Ed's Lobster Bar.
I'm hot.
The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorites. Ed, welcome to Hot Grease.
How you doing, Nicole?
I am great. So you're going to be hitting us with the Hot Five today. You're going to be doing the Hot Five. Are you doing lobster dishes or five things we forget about lobster?
Five things that nobody knows about lobster.
We love. Hit us with number five, Ed.
Yeah, number five is something called Lobster College. And a gentleman up in Maine named Bob Baer at the University of Maine in Orono runs an institute called the Lobster Institute. He does a program, a weekend program, once or twice a year, that teaches people everything they want to know about lobster. And I'm trying to bring that down to New York City.
So are you telling me that we just can't come to Ed's Lobster Bar and have a lobster roll and bacon wrap oysters to learn everything? So we actually need a class, Ed?
There's a lot of information that you don't get just from eating the lobster.
Okay. So number four on the Hot Five lobster list.
Sustainability of lobster. It is one of the most sustainable fish products, period. The stocks are unbelievably high, and the laws governing them that the fishermen have put in place themselves have ensured sustainability for a long time to come with lobster.
Yeah.
One thing in particular they do is called V-notching, where they actually pull a piece of the flipper tail out to signify a female that's in egg-bearing age. And
wow.
Anybody who pulls lobster has to throw it back.
Wow. Yeah, I think that there's not a lot of information out about sustainable lobster. I mean, there are like a few iPhone applications out that or websites that you can go to with lobster. But in general, if someone asks me about seafood and sustainability, I always kind of look with like, I don't know. But now I can tell everyone about lobster and the female lobster being thrown back. Okay, so number three on the Hot Five.
Number three is a food item, and it's lobster meatballs. And you're not going to get them anywhere else but Ed's Lobster Bar.
And it's
think of a typical Italian meatball made with lobster meat. It has the same consistency of ground beef when you grind it up. It's amazing.
So, Ed, do you have the lobster meatballs on your menu all the time? Because I've been there several times, and I don't remember seeing them.
You know, I run them every single Wednesday. So it's kind of the Wednesday special.
Okay. So tell our listeners before we get to number two exactly where you're located in New York City.
Okay. It's 222 Lafayette Street. We're between Spring and Kenmore.
Spring and Kenmore in, and that's Soho area. Or would we
Soho,
say NoHo?
Yeah.
Some people will say NoHo, Soho.
Nolita, you could hear sometimes as well.
Okay, so on Wednesdays, if you're in New York City and you want lobster meatballs, head to Ed's Lobster Bar. Number two on the list, Ed.
Number two, lobster prices, and they're all over the news for the last couple of years. From being the highest they were in forever in 2007 to basically the lowest they were last year, there's common misconceptions about it. Everybody hears lobster's $2 a pound. And if you were in Maine and you walked up to the dock and you bought it off the boat, yeah, it would be $2 a pound. But, you know, it touches, you know, three or four hands before it even makes it down to any restaurant in New York City.
Mm.
And, you know, the New York Times, stuff like that, they love to write about how lobster is so inexpensive, but they really don't delve into where it's going. You know, they just delve into the boat price and the fishermen, but they don't really touch the whole broader spectrum of the product.
Yeah, I think there was an article. Was it this summer they had an article about the price of lobster in the New York Times?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, Ed. Did you have more about the lobster prices?
No, that's good. I think I touched everything that I wanted to on that.
Okay, and the final on the Hot Five with Ed McFarlane of Ed's Lobster Bar. Number one, Ed.
Okay, eating the lobster. Everything is edible.
Yeah, I was sitting next to someone when I came in on Friday, and you told the guy, yeah, you need to get, he was being very proper in eating his lobster. And what did you tell him, man?
Told him he had to get down and dirty and get his hands right in there and rip it apart.
Totally. Ed,
yes.
I must say this. You have to send me a picture so I can post it on my blog and Twitter of your tattoo of your logo of Ed's Lobster Bar. It is the hottest thing I've seen in 2010.
Thank you very much.
I absolutely love your tattoo and your music. I've been to Ed's Lobster Bar, and every time I'm sitting there and I just like, damn, this is some hot music. We love hot music on Heritage Radio Network. So I have to give you your props on the tattoo and the music, Ed. That's the hitting hip vibe that you have at Ed's Lobster Bar.
Oh, thank you very much, Nicole. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Ed, for joining us on Hot Grease. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive?